Hello, gang. Welcome back to another episode of Grit and Glitter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the power of women's wrestling. My name is Harley Vasquez, flying solo this week because the Glitterati are prepping. We're packing our bags. We're stocking up on sunblock, but it's looking good at 10 degrees. Sorry, that's 10 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. Warm. Good April, reasonable spring weather. No snow. Sometimes here in May it snows and we're just like buried even in like late May. But this is looking like a nice April sunny weekend for walking around Philadelphia and New Jersey and seeing live professional wrestling. It is WrestleMania weekend. I say weekend, but honestly it kicks off tomorrow. Like Wednesday, there are amazing shows happening. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a long weekend. You got the big ones like the WWE, the NXT, the ROH. You've got the semi-big ones like Collective Weekend, Joey Janela's Spring Break, Effie's Big Gay Brunch, For the Culture. You've got CFU. You've got 880. You've got Stardom, TJPW, Spark Joshi. Way more than I can list here. There's so many shows happening this week in Philadelphia and in New Jersey. A lot of them are streaming on IWTV or on Fight TV. So many that you're not even going to be able to watch them all this weekend, honestly, right? Like, you can watch a couple live, and then you have to save a bunch and watch them on Monday and Tuesday of next week, and then the week continues. It's going to be a huge, fun-filled weekend. I'm especially excited because I'm going. I'm going to be down there in the area. I'm going to be hanging out in person with the rest of the Glitterati, almost all of the Glitterati. Me, M-Fear, Val Pancakes, Don Halliwell, Mayday, Lindsay Baker, we're all going to be there in person hanging out, as well as lots of friends of the show, like Brian Bell, like Kevin McElvaney from PWI. So many people there walking around, eating food, seeing great professional wrestling. If you're in the Philadelphia area, shoot us a message, Grit Glitter Pod on Twitter or Instagram. Let us know. We would love to hang out with you, have a drink, eat some food, chat, talk to you a little bit for next week's episode of this show, because we're going to be recording next week's episode live all weekend in person. It's going to be incredible. I cannot wait. On that note, one of the biggest shows of the weekend for me personally is Flashylvania. This is the show that Kevin McElvaney is running. It is a charity fundraising event. It's in honor of his 40th birthday. It's also raising money for the research into bile duct cancer, a deadly disease that took his wife last fall. So it's a very personal show for him, a very emotional show for him and for anybody who knows the story and who's going to be there in person. But beyond that, it's just going to be a great wrestling card. Tons of people on the show that we love. Hyann, The Outfielders, Gabby Ortiz, former guests of the show. They're all going to be there wrestling on the show. I get to see them wrestle in person for the first time, which is so cool and so great. That show is happening this Saturday. And so this week on the show, I chat with Kevin all about the backstory behind Thrashylvania. We break down all of the matches on the card, what you can expect, all the championships that are going to be on the line, WrestleSlab Championship, the Action Wrestling Championship, number one contender for the IWTV Take titles. It's a full show. 10 matches, 6 of which feature women, and I don't know if there's any other shows beyond like the Stardom and the TJPW all weekend that can really claim that. I don't think there are. In terms of percentage of female talent on the card, this one is up there, and that's why this is our pick of the week. So now, let's throw things over to me and Kevin talking all about Thrashylvania.
I am joined at this
time by the editor-in-chief of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, that world-famous wrestling magazine, the one that you see everywhere, the one that all the wrestlers love to read and chat about. His name is Kevin McElvaney. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Good talking to you. It has been a minute, as the kids maybe still say.
It's been a little while. We've had you on the past to interrogate things like the PWI women's is it 250 now?
Yes.
Yeah. It grows so much.
Yeah.
Yes, we've had you on the past to interrogate you about that, about, hey, why is this person like this, and how do you decide this, and shut down the haters, all that sort of thing. But no, today you're on to talk about your very first show that you yourself are running.
Yeah, it's a little less, this interview is a little less pressure. So that's a good thing. It's my first and hopefully only show. And that's not to say that I'm having a bad time putting this together. It's more just running a show is expensive. This was something I sort of made a decision to do in lieu of, say, a nice long vacation somewhere, which is a little less practical for me for several reasons. And I figured at the same time it could be a thing we could do that could raise some money for a good cause, raise awareness, showcase some deserving wrestlers, and just generally be a really good time. Also, it is taking place just a couple of weeks before I turn 40. So, you know, in a way, it's also an early 40th birthday gift to myself, from myself.
Yes, I am turning 40 in 11 months. So I'm right there behind you. And I also have been thinking, like, hey, I want to run a show before I'm 40. Like, I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. Like,
do it.
Can we make it happen? Like you said, though, it's pricey.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you know, the thing is, if you do it right and you promote it well and you get people to come out and you know, there are various different ways to do that. I mean, you can make your money back, hopefully, or at least not lose a ton of money. I pretty much going in accepted that this was going to be a losing proposition. You know, obviously my full-time job is PWI. For various reasons, I won't bore you with. This is not officially anyway a PWI endeavor. Certainly, like, by way of my involvement in it, it's going to be associated with that. We're not shying away from who I am or my connection to the magazine. There are even a couple of nods to PWI on the card. But suffice to say, this is not coming from the company that Kappa Publishing that owns PWI. They're not paying for any of this. PWI is not paying for any of this. I just kind of went in thinking, okay, I'm willing to take this number of doll hairs hit and, you know, and then that'll be okay. And just anything we make will go clear to charity. I don't need to worry about recouping anything. Suffice it to say that I've said suffice it to say in a single conversation, I think. But I did not keep with my budget and went, you know, pretty far over it. So it will be fine. I did not spend money that I didn't have. But, you know, everybody's going to get paid what's been agreed upon. But my hope is, out of all this, we will have a great show and that we can in turn raise a lot of money for this really deserving charity that we are trying to, you know, bring awareness to.
Yeah, I assume the show is going to be the cover story on the next issue of PWI, because there's not really anything else that notable going on in wrestling right now anyway.
My hope is that the next issue is going to be Supercards. So... yeah, there's going to be a lot of other events. You know, we've been trying to run the arena reports section in every issue because I know that's not just fans. I mean, wrestlers and promoters really like to look at that one because it's a good showcase for, you know, different smaller cards all over the world, really, but especially in North America. So my hope is, you know, we're going to need something to, you know, adorn those pages, the spotlight card. My thought is that this could be that, because it's certainly, you know, I wouldn't hype it up enough, even though I think it's a really great card. I'm not going to call it a super card because it's just me. It's some guy behind it. It's not, you know, a big show by a noted promotion with a track record. But that's probably the extent of the coverage we'll see in the magazine. But, you know, to be determined on that.
Well, so the show is Thrashylvania. It happens this Saturday at noon. The H2O Wrestling Center in New Jersey, and it is folks streaming live on IWTV. So that's very good news for the people who aren't able to make it down for WrestleMania weekend. It's part of a whole sort of, everybody's heard about, like, obviously the Collective is running lots of stuff in Philadelphia, and they've got a bunch of shows going on there over a couple of days. This is another, what's the name of this banner that you're falling under again?
Oh gosh, it's terrible that I'm forgetting the name of it. But there are a number of other great shows, and they're all taking place at the H2O Wrestling Center.
Yeah, CFU.
Action Wrestling, the Dean show is going to be there on Thursday night. There's a really great ETU card that's taking place right after my show, and that's going to have wrestlers from Dragon Gate on it. So it's just going to be a really fun string of shows there. And you know, hopefully Jerry and all them at IWTV didn't hear me forget the name of the group of shows. But it is going to be a good one.
Yeah, and those are all going to be streaming on IWTV. So if you already have your monthly subscription, that's all right there at your fingertips for free, which is really cool. And even if you don't, what's IWTV? $10 a month, I think.
Yeah, it's a good deal. And I should add too, if it's something where you can't be there in person, or even if you're around and can't attend my show because it's up against some pretty steep competition from Effie's Big Gay Brunch and NXT Stand and Deliver, and I think Kaiju Big Battle is also running a few miles away. So it's good. It's tough, but you know, there's a lot of great things happening. So if you are not able to be there in person, which I hope you can watch later, and the royalties that are generated from this show in perpetuity are going to go to the same charity as the ticket sales go to, which is the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation.
Yeah, so this whole event is essentially a charity fundraiser, for the most part, for the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation. That's bile duct cancer, which is a very personal cause for you because you did lose your wife to this last October.
Yes. Yeah, my wife, Megan, just the most wonderful person, who battled against bile duct cancer for 3 years. It is it's a very deadly form of cancer. There's really no way to sugarcoat that. We knew, like, going in with when they discovered it was already stage four. She did very well with treatments until she didn't, but, you know, she inspired a lot of people along the way. She has a YouTube channel, actually, it's still running. It's not, I'm not tending to it at all. I don't have, you know, in my heart to make any updates, even to tell people that she's gone, because it's, you know, I'm still dealing with that myself. But just absolutely wonderful person who had zero interest in pro wrestling until we got together. And then she became a fan and loved going to shows. And I know she would, one, be saying, Kevin, what the hell are you doing spending all this money? But two, okay, this is going to be really fun. Oh, you got this person. Okay, this is really good. This is going to be fun. And I know one thing, you know, it's not to make it about my stupid birthday, but she was one of her benchmarks, you know, the thing she wanted to stick around for, like, okay, I want to be there when my nieces get to this age and hit this benchmark and you see them off to school. And you know, among the many things that she missed, one of the things was, I want to throw my husband a 40th birthday party. So that's kind of, you know, again, it makes a lot of sense. The name of the show, Thrashylvania, which sounds very silly on the surface, is a portmanteau of our last names. Her shoot name was Megan Thrash. Everybody thought that was like some kind of like punk name or fake name, but no, that was her name. And she kept it when we got married, because why the hell would you give up the greatest last name that you could have? And people that we knew would call us the Thrashylvanians is shorthand. So this really just, you know, it grew and came up with this concept and trying to, you know, do something special. We'll have some pamphlets. We'll be bringing awareness. You know, this is, again, it's a really brutal, awful form of cancer. Megan's loss is a huge tragedy, but, you know, throughout, I mean, really almost to the bitter end, she was just such a fun-loving, funny, and, you know, even like darkly funny when things were very hard, but just someone who liked to see the best and things and like to have a good time. And this is going to be a really, really fun show. And I hope it, you know, honors her memory well.
Are there any matches on the card that you sort of, you know, in the back of your head kind of booked for her, like people that she specifically loved?
Oh my gosh. So it's, I know she would be really excited for a few of these, especially the kind of the whole thing that's going on right now with and this is not the original plan for the match, but we have Kaia McKenna and Ram Kaichow are going to be facing Ava Everett and Viva Van, and LSG will be in their corner. There's this whole just very silly thing going on right now where Kaia made this offhand comment on Twitter about, you know, we're going to win this match and then I'm going to turn LSG into a newt. He took exception to that immediately. And then everybody just really wants to see the guy be turned into a newt, I guess. And people have really like latched on to this very silly aspect of what will probably be a very good, like, athletic wrestling match. I know she'd like that. It's the idea of having the Kirks go against the couples invitational were kind of cribbing the term for the show they were never actually unfortunately able to run, but it's the Kirks, Brandon Kirk and Casey Catal against GPA and Lainey Luck. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I think she always liked seeing, like, oh, this person's saving this person and blah, blah, blah. And this person's, these two are married. You know, just it's a personal element that gets people more invested. And, you know, she watched the life of the Kirks with me. She watched a few of the other life of the John Wayne Murdoch and the Shaz McKenzie series. And actually, Shaz is another one. I know, like, she would have really enjoyed this match, I think, particularly because Delmi Exo is the opponent. And we used to, you know, been watching Delmi's matches for a long time. Megan was a big fan of the Sea Stars. So, you know, a few of these, I think it was, like, I don't know if I could point to one single match and say this is the Megan match. It's more just a lot of people that I believe are good people and are good talent and who are working very, very hard and who deserve this showcase. And I do think it's an event that you would be very entertained by.
And because it's a fundraiser, because it's such a personal cause for you, I'd have to imagine there is less pressure on you in terms of, like, the show itself. Like, you're not trying to be like, this is my first show of my new promotion and we're going to be around for a couple of years. We need to create a lot of buzz. I need to, like, really wow people with, like, amazing and, like, you know, an amazing product. It's like, no, this is like it's like a big birthday party.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because, like, I've had a couple of promoters who started off by doing one and I tell them this is just my first, like, they'll say, oh, are you overwhelmed yet? It's a lot, huh? And I'm like, no, it's just this one show. And they said, that's what we said too. You know, started off with one, but that really is my intention, to just do this once, if only because it is expensive and I can't, you know, and I mean, even just practically speaking, like, you know, there are ways where, okay, theoretically I could do another show and try to recoup costs and all that. To me, that gets a little messy because of my role with PWI. I don't want to go and be making, like, a personal profit off of wrestling outside of my work with PWI. You know, it's just, for me, it's a like kind of gray ethical area. But when this is a big charity thing and just the success is we all have a good time and we raise some money, like, yeah, it does take a lot of the weight off. And even just if you look at the card, I mean, I'm not trying to book all of the dream matches. That's not to say some of these couldn't be considered dream matches. I know in a few cases the wrestlers themselves were, oh, this is an opponent I've wanted to face for a very long time. But it's not a situation where I have this massive, massive budget and I'm, you know, bringing in the absolute best from all over the world to face off in these, like, 30-minute bangers. That's not what this show is, and there is going to be some very good wrestling on it, but it's a lot about the interesting chemistry we're going to see between these different people, you know, the personalities they bring to the ring, and to me that is, I'm kind of going off the rails a little bit here, but that's basically, there's not a lot of pressure on me, you know, once it goes off and actually happens. I just want to make sure everything goes smoothly, basically.
Well, there are a lot of charities out there, so we'll see if you still feel this way when your 45th birthday rolls around.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Have you seen the Before trilogy with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy?
I've actually not seen the third one yet.
Oof, it's a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
But Yeah, something like that. Like every 9 years, you just do the same show with the same wrestlers. Same wrestlers, same matches every 9 years, and just see what changed.
See how they feel, and some people look very different. I'm trying to think, like, so there's, I don't know. I think most of the people on this show will at least be physically able to wrestle in 5 years, you know, if all goes well.
What's the average lifespan of a newt?
That's a good point. That is a very good point. If Kaya is able to be successful in transforming LSG, he could, well, who knows? I don't know how that would work. You know, if someone's transmogrified by a witch into a creature, do they maintain their original lifespan, or are they just, like, you know, subject to that of the creature? And does it, you know, are they ostensibly a brand new newt, or would he be, you know, a newt X number of months or years into his life? These are all really good questions, and this is why I like to come on this show, because it's just very important to get into the difficult asks.
Yeah, there's like a witch who's, you know, 80 years old as a human and feels like she's at the end of her life. So she turns herself into a tortoise, and now she's like middle aged. She's got another 100 years to go.
Yeah, or that shark that that was apparently you know, palling around with Shakespeare or whatever. It's 500 years old, supposedly. I don't know how they determine this, but that's, you know, that's above my pay grade. I'm just
and they determined that he was magazine. Friends with Shakespeare. Like Shakespeare, like, fed him.
I don't know if he fed him. That's a good question. But again, these are for scientists and not for lowly pro wrestling magazine editors / one-time wrestling promoters such as myself.
That's a different magazine.
Yes. Yeah, that's it's a very whimsical magazine. If anybody wants to, you know, if there's any... I imagine there's a ton of venture capitalists.
Shakespeare Illustrated.
Oh, my gosh. I will tell you, I think there is, I don't think I've said this publicly, or maybe I've tweeted it, but I've said it out loud. I think there is a market for a magazine about, you know, ostensibly battle bots, and like a combat, Robot Combat Illustrated, because there's enough of this all over the place. And I think if somebody wants to do, you know, another magazine in the spirit of PWI that is not about wrestling, I think that's a great place to start. So, free idea.
The BattleBot 500.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of flaming online.
Exactly. That's a very passionate fan base. So, I mean.
All right. So, as somebody who has never run a show but would like to, what's something that surprised you so far about running your first show?
Well, in this case, one thing I was not really aware of before was kind of the notion of a transportation split. So if you're booking somebody and they're not bringing themselves into town, you know, they're being flown in from somewhere else or whatever, you know, somebody's paying their transportation, and then you could be responsible for a portion of it. Or in some cases, maybe you're even paying the transportation and then someone else decides to use them, and then you might have to reach out to that person if you wanted to recoup some of those expenses, or not. And then in other cases, you think people are bringing themselves in, and then you find out someone else offered to pay for their flight. And then, so there are these kind of hidden costs. And again, this is specific to a WrestleMania weekend scenario. If this is an event that you're doing yourself and you're like, all the people are coming in just for your show, it's less relevant. But yeah, basically beware the hidden costs, because there are things that will come up. And, you know, if you want to stream the show, there are costs that come with that. There are costs that come with renting a venue and such. You know, some of that stuff I anticipated. Other things were slightly more surprising. But basically be ready to pay money for anything you want. If you want to do this on the up and up and you don't want to try and, you know, go back to the carny roots of wrestling and scam people out of their money.
That is that's honestly the stuff that trips me up and makes me think like, I can't do this. Because it's like, okay, I can pay I got to pay the wrestlers, I got to pay the referees, I got to pay the venue, I got to get a ring. Okay, that's all. Oh, now I need a doctor. But then also I need, okay, this person is choosing to drive home after the show. This person needs a hotel for the night. Is it fair that the person who's choosing to stay gets like extra money because they're staying in a hotel? Like, shouldn't the person who's just because they're choosing to drive home, shouldn't they be compensated for the equivalent of hotel? Because, like, I guess
these are all reasonable questions. And I mean, it's not, and at a point, it comes down to what the individual rates are for the wrestlers, because they'll normally work for this rate or that. And, you know, maybe because they like you, they'll give you a slight break on what they are willing to work for. But ultimately, you have to come to some kind of agreement that's good for all of you. I will say that it did make it easier, and I would not have attempted to do this completely from scratch, I don't think, because we have this infrastructure with IWTV running this series of shows at H2O Wrestling Center. You know, H2O Wrestling Center already has the infrastructure in place. They have their sound system, they have their ring, they have their building set up, the, you know, just anything that you would need to consistently run shows, it's already there. So, I mean, it's just like, okay, I have to pay them X, I have to pay IWTV X for the production, and then, you know, I can go ahead and have my show. So to me, that, I mean, you know, it wasn't the cheapest, but like when I knew what that was up front, I thought, okay, hey, I can afford that plus X amount for the wrestlers. And again, inevitably went over on the wrestlers, but this was a case where I could have, like, again, taken a nice long vacation, gone to, I don't know, Australia or gone to Europe for a bit, and just, this seemed like the better option to do something memorable as a one-off that I can, you know, hang on to. And then, you know, maybe years from now I'm on my deathbed and I never saw Australia and I'll regret this, but who knows? I think right now I feel good about it.
What's to see? You know, is Sydney really that different from Philadelphia? Like, in when you get right down to it?
Our opera house is not nearly as nice. I mean, it's now a Live Nation venue.
Yeah. So it's yeah, I don't know if there's a Ticketmaster Australia that's gutting people over there.
I mean, presumably, probably. But there's also, it's a, you know, you're speaking with an American here who, like, we generally like prefer to pay for not we as in me, but we as in our government prefers to pay for bombs rather than the arts. So it's just, you know, I mean, somebody's got to pay for the bombs, right? They're expensive. Am I right, folks?
So, yes, and Canada is, we're right there with you. We're like, yeah, bomb them all.
Yeah, but you guys at least have, you know, artistic grants and things like that, you know? It's granted, I mean, there are some limitations that come with that.
That's a whole thing as well, where, like, there's, like, scandals where, like, the music grants go to the people who are already, like, Juno Award winners and are already getting played all over the radio and, like, presumably don't need the money, whereas the people who are really struggling and do need the money are getting overlooked because, like, I've never heard of you.
Here you go, Nelly Furtado. There's you need assistance making your album.
Yes, we need, Metric needs more money. It's like, no, Metric is good. I, like, you know, it's anyway. All right, Tashovania. We'll do a quick rundown of the card. We've got Alyssa Marino and Johnny Torres on commentary. Samir doing ring announcing. Nick Shen and Gina Monty on referee duties. That's an all-star lineup right there.
I love it. Yeah, I'm just hearing all those names together. And those people, for the most part, were at least approached very early in the process. You know, not everybody can commit right away. But outside of one or two of the wrestlers, the referees were actually among the first people I booked. Those two are Gina and Nick are great.
Then we've got your podcasting partner, Kai McKenna, and Ram taking on Ava Everett and Aviva Van. We've talked about that one. We've got Shun Skywalker versus Kota Minora.
Yeah, Dragon Gate matchup. And my understanding is the first time in several years they've had a one-on-one match, and there's some unfinished business there. And in large part, that match was something I wanted to book for Issa Marie, who's one of our photographers and who just absolutely loves Dragon Gate, and her coverage of Dragon Gate was part of what drew me to working with her for the magazine. So I thought it would be cool. Like, let's get some Dragon Gate wrestlers on this card. And, you know, so she actually suggested that as a singles match when I was looking at, okay, these people are available, and like, oh, you got to do Shun versus Kota Minora. There's a lot of history there.
There's been a real influx post-pandemic of Japanese wrestlers coming to America. Like, we also, this weekend, we're seeing Stardom coming over. We're seeing TJPW come over. It does not feel like it was that common pre-pandemic.
No, and I mean, the Spark promotion, we have to give a shout out to CB and everybody over there. They're you know, just genuinely good people. And they kind of sprung out of nowhere to the point where it was like, wait, what? They're bringing like they're bringing Saki over to the U.S. and like they're bringing over Rina Yamashita and like what is this promotion? And then you kind of find out that, I mean, it's people who've been working in the entertainment space and running events, but hadn't done wrestling before. And yet were, you know, very committed to the idea of it. And then you have this show where they're working with, I mean, you have Stardom talent and freelance talent who normally would never appear in Stardom. You have U.S. independent workers on that show. That's going to be like low key. That is one of the best shows of the entire week, I think. Even without knowing the entire card yet. And of course, Ron Kai Chow is the Pacific champion of Spark. So she's, you know, appearing she's not defending her title on my show, but she's, you know, certainly representing the promotion there.
Then we've got Rio versus Haiyan, which I am so grateful for. Haiyan might be my favorite indie wrestler going right now. She's been on this show twice. I was talked to her and Stephen Wolf for a Valentine's Day special a couple years ago, and this is going to be my first chance finally getting to see her wrestle in person and meet her.
Yeah, she's a really cool person, just incredible wrestler. As you said, one of the best in the independent circuit right now. She's, you know, just firing on all cylinders, and she's taken a lot of initiative on her own to travel overseas. She's done tours of Europe. One person she has not gotten to face yet is Rio, who is the reigning Progress Women's Champion. So that's a big match as well, and I'm very, you know, that was one I kind of had in my head, like, okay, who's going to be in town? Who can Haiyan face? I didn't think I'd be able to book that match, and I was very, very, very surprised and pleased to find out that it was possible. So that's going to be, I believe, the semi-main event. So that's, you know, if somebody's like trickling in a little late and worried you missed that match, well, you know, I shouldn't even say that. Be there from the beginning. Don't miss any matches. But you know, it is, you know, if you're tuning in on the stream or whatever you know, want to see that match, it's going to be in a very prominent position on the card. And just, you know, again, very excited for that. And yeah, it's going to be a good one, I think.
Yeah, if you are going to miss a match, you can probably skip Adam Priest versus Darius Carter because nobody likes Darius Carter.
And Adam Priest can be a little bit rough around the edges at times, you know, but they're both awesome wrestlers, which is why they're on the card. And specifically, you know, both, you know, a little surly, both excellent technical wrestlers. Again, a match that has never happened, at least one-on-one. But I don't think they've been in the ring together, actually. And I know the two of them are excited to mix it up. And a very recent development with that match, Darius Carter just won his second Super 8 tournament, which nobody has ever, all that, you know, and some very big names have won that tournament over the years, but nobody has won it twice. Darius Carter not only won it twice, but he was putting up his ECWA heavyweight championship in the tournament this time, and he's retained it. So I thought, well, hey, look, he's still champion. Adam Priest is there. Let me, you know, see what we can do here. And of course, then Adam Priest called out Darius Carter on Twitter, and then before we know it, it's a match, and it's a championship match. So it's one of several on this card, actually, which is pretty cool. I think, you know, not having a specific promotion behind it frees you up to have these different things and these different championships in play that you wouldn't necessarily on some other cards.
Yes. One of the reasons that we here at Grit and Glitter love and respect you so much is 10 matches on this card, 6 of them featuring women.
Yeah, that was definitely I don't want to say it was a conscious thing, but I mean, I certainly wanted to make sure there's representation of different groups on the card. But like, the truth is, just women's wrestling is a very special thing. And there are a lot of amazing women who are out there applying their trade right now. And I think in a lot of cases, you know, there are a lot of, and this isn't to take nothing away from all the hardworking guys out there, but there are, you know, it's been an uphill battle for women in the industry for so long. And I think it's forced some people to think outside the box. You see a lot of different personalities and characters and styles and just taking influences from all over the place. So I think it's no accident that a lot of the most compelling and talented wrestlers on the independents are women. So, you know, why wouldn't the show reflect that? I think why would, you know, to have one or two matches with women in them is, I guess I see why it happens sometimes if you're sort of used to working with the same people all the time, or if you run a school and you only have a couple of women who wrestle. You know, I'm not saying anyone who suggesting that anyone who doesn't have more than a match or two is doing it for any kind of bad reason, but you know, this is something where we are building from scratch, so why not feature the wrestlers that I want to see and that other people want to see? So I appreciate that compliment. I'm glad that you've noticed. And, you know, hopefully some other shows over the weekend will kind of, you know, if there are matches that in spots they need to fill up, they'll kind of consider that, because there are a lot of deserving, talented women who are going to be in town and who are looking to, you know, fill up their schedules a little bit and make a few bucks.
On that note, we've got a six-person scramble. Gabby Ortiz, Alec Price, Rob Radke, Jay Bougie, Lucas DeSangro, and Man Like Dorit.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting group there. So I mean, you have Gabby Ortiz and Lucas DeSangro, who were both featured in the Monster Factory documentary. They're both the Danny Cage trainees and just terrific personalities and wrestlers. A lot of heart from both of them. You know, Gabby's a Philly girl and a Philadelphia Phillies fan, so just always gonna be on the same page with her about that. Even with, you know, we started our season off with a heartbreaker of a game, but it's anyway, I can always appreciate a fellow Phillies fan. And then, you know, you have Lucas, and I feel a connection with him too. So one thing I don't talk about a lot publicly, but when I was 13 years old, I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome. Lucas DeSangro, he's also known as Twitch, and on the Monster Factory documentary series, he, you know, kind of, well, not kind of, but he's very open about, and part of his persona is that he is someone who has Tourette syndrome, and he has, you know, visible tics and audible tics, but he doesn't let it hold him back. If anything, he kind of just leans into it, and it's part of the intensity that he brings. So I really like the two of them, and I had not seen Lucas work in person until a few months back. He was on the Wrestling Independent debut show in Philly, and he was just awesome on that, just a great performer. So the two of them, and then we have Rob Radke, who is another kind of regional wrestler based out of Maryland, but, you know, just, I mean, he has a jacket that he's frequently seen in that's like a Charles Barkley 76ers style you know, satin baseball jacket, like the throwback, like pretty much something I had when I was a kid myself. So he's very much of the area as well, and part formerly of the Goons faction. Just again, a really talented guy with a lot of intensity and a great work ethic. And you know, along those lines, you have Jay Bougie's like just been blowing up as of late, and he's made appearances you know, very prominently for MLW. But just all over the independent scene, particularly in New York City and around that area, the North Jersey area, just super, super charismatic guy, good high flyer, like can really just keep up with just about anybody out there. And I know he's particularly excited to mix it up with another guy who's been on MLW and Alec Price, who, I mean, you want to talk about somebody with intensity and heart, former IWTV world champion, just absolute standout of not only the Northeast independent scene, but just independent scene across the board. And then we have Man Like Dorit, who's coming over, and he's, you know, going to be on the Progress Wrestling show. I think he may have another booking or two apart from that and my show, but just somebody who really, really hustles over in the UK and Ireland and Europe, and gets all over the place. He's, you know, he'll always update on social media with like where he's heading next, his tour. And he hits so many shows, and he collects gold along the way, and just another incredible, incredible hardworking talent. So that match is going to be really interesting to watch and see how whoever picks up the win is able to do so. Because I think, you know, you're going to do a scramble. You want a nice mix of different personalities and wrestling styles in there, and hopefully this is it.
In terms of solid singles matches, two wrestlers, two veterans at this point, who are still at the top of their game, Chaz McKenzie versus Dummy EXO.
Yep. And I can reveal that is actually going to be our kickoff match on the show. So if you want to see that, so that match is going to be one to not miss. Another first-time match. Those two have never faced off one-on-one before. When I approached each of them about it, their responses were identical. I have wanted to face her for years. Yes, let's do that match. So that's going to be a great one. And again, two very just strong personalities, hard workers. I mean, you just have to take one look at their social media, again, to see all the hustling they do and all the different towns they hit. And, I think two very – the word underrated is a little bit – you know, it's squishy and annoying, but I think the two of them are both very underrated technical wrestlers. And I foresee this being like a good, like interesting match, not entirely on the mat, but I think technical wrestling will certainly play a strong part in it. And who knows, watch it now that it'll turn into a huge brawl now that I said that, but I'm excited for this one too.
Another championship match on the card is the Action Wrestling Championship. Alex Kane defends against Brian Johnson.
Yeah, and this is another one that has not happened before. These two have crossed paths in the past, certainly well aware of one another, and two guys with chips on their shoulder for different reasons. Alex Kane, of course, the former MLW World Heavyweight Champion, lost that title earlier this year, but he is the reigning Action Wrestling Champion, and he has agreed to put that title up against Brian Johnson, who... many people would know the Mecca Brian Johnson from Ring of Honor, you know, was really big on the Future of Honor broadcast for a while. And then he became a fixture of the ROH Pure Division, very nearly captured that title a couple of different times. To me, I was always in, and I've known Brian for a number of years, so there's some, you know, personal bias here. But I think he, stepping back and watching what he brings to the ring, his intensity, his technical acumen when he's not reaching for shortcuts, I think, you know, is up there with just about anybody. I was kind of surprised that he didn't end up in the Tony Khan version of Ring of Honor, him among a few others. But this is a match, again, where I just see like real Smash Mouth style, these two colliding. And the fact that we can put the Action Wrestling Championship in, you know, in the mix here is huge, because I think Action Wrestling is one of the most consistent independent wrestling promotions out there, and it's going to be a really good one.
Three matches left, including number one contender match for the IWTV tag team titles. Currently the title is held by Miracle Generation, but we have The Good Hand taking on Irving West and Ash Bennett, Dan Champion and Harleen Lopez, and our favorite here, Gringler, the Outfielders. Shane McCoy, very first guest we ever had on this podcast. So
awesome.
We will forever be rooting for the Outfielders.
Yeah, I love
so the Outfielders. So if they don't win, I'm just leaving. I'm not even sticking around for the rest of the show. Just FYI.
Noted. The Outfielders are terrific. And I have been following them since the beginning of their careers, because they were straight out of the Chikara Wrestle Factory, and I, you know, for various reasons, you know, people don't want to talk about Chikara now, and I completely understand that. But I should note that even very early on, you could tell how good these two were going to be. The charisma that they brought, the resilience that they brought, because they had a lot of tough wins early in their careers that, you know, actually shaped both of them very much, and they've really grown into their own as a tag team. Fun story with them. I had always assumed they were not actually cousins and were being portrayed that way. I don't know why I made that assumption. And I found out after publishing a 500 bio for one of them. I forget if it was Shea or Weber, but I put cousins in quotation marks. You know, we're actually cousins, right? Oh, that's amazing. But like, they are legitimately cousins. And anyway, a great team. Standouts of with the great run with the Campeonatos de Ranas at the High Tension Network and formerly Camp Leapfrog. Having them against, originally the plan was to have the Creeps duo of Irving West and Andy Ripley. And Andy Ripley, the plan is still for them to be there, cornering Irving and Ash Bennett, who Ash will be an honorary creep, but you know, there's some history between those two groups. And then you add another team with, you know, just very strong personalities and a lot of great chemistry together in the Good Hand. And then you that team, you know, you have Shug D, and then you have Kevin Ryan, and standouts of Action Wrestling, standouts of the Southeast independent scene, very, very strong. And then we sort of have the wild card team of Dan Champion and Harleen Lopez, and they're, you know, you could look at them as a makeshift team. I look at them as a team that has a lot in common, the way they live their lives, their dedication to, you know, building up their strength and their, like, kind of take no prisoners, take no guff attitude. I think the two of them could really surprise us with the chemistry that they're able to put together in this match. And, you know, at the end of the day, there is going to be a team who's going to come out of this, and they'll be able to challenge Miracle Generation for the IWTV World Tag Title. You know, very dominant team there. So what better way to determine the number one contender than to put four teams in there and, you know, see who can emerge as the best.
Then title versus title. Io O'Neil versus Andino for both the Wrestler's Lab Championship and Fight Club Pro's Chocolate City Championship. Andino is the Chocolate City champion right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Eel is the Wrestler's Lab champ. So barring some sort of wacky WWF style double count out or, you know, non-finish, we're almost guaranteed a title change.
You know, it's interesting you say that because both of these guys have been very good at holding on to their championships through kind of just cheap means as of late. So Io O'Neil attacked the referee during his most recent title defense for Wrestler's Lab against Trevor Eon. And that's, you know, that's a situation where we want to avoid it, but we also don't want to do like some really over the top situation. So I'm hopeful that these two will play ball here, both Eel and Andino, and that we will see a new champion crowned. You know, we'll find out on the day of. But either way, this is a strong clash of personalities. Again, I feel like I keep coming back to that. I'm sure that Eel O'Neil will be bringing some kind of backup with him just because that's what he does. But I will counter that, and I'll announce this now, and we'll see if he comes. But I have extended an invitation to Trevor Eon to see if he wants to come and, you know, just hang out at this show. So we will see if he accepts. And stay tuned.
And then the main event, the Kirks Couple Invitational, GPA and Lainey Luck versus the Kirks. And I guess winners become the first ever Thrashylvania couples tag team champions. They can defend against High-End and Stephen Wolf, and maybe Birdlaw, maybe some of these other couples out there.
I mean, that's actually a pretty good idea, and I wish I had thought of it in those terms. Could have maybe had like a belt set made up or a trophy or something. Well, maybe there's still time. It's a few days.
Matching bracelets.
That would actually be pretty good. But, you know, we'll have the bracelets that we're going to hand out to attendees. Maybe we'll just like bedazzle a couple of them, something like that. But I am so excited for this match, which is our main event. The idea of the Kirk's Couples Invitational to me was so fun. I was on board for that show. It was meant to be a GCW event. It was canceled for, I forget what the reason was at the time, but you know, it's just logistically a nightmare to put together a show like that. That's so many tag teams, so many wrestling couples who were kind of booked all over the place. And if you really want to get the most prominent ones in the same place at the same time, it is tough, especially with people being signed different places and all that. This will be not the first match back for Casey Catalogue because she made her return a couple weekends ago. But one of the first matches, and I think only the second match with Casey and Brandon Kirk teaming together, because they're going to be on the Stan Styles Cream Mania show on Wednesday night, which is also part of the IWTV series of events at the H2O Center. But the two of them, I mean, just consistently two of my favorite people to watch the whole entire storyline with Casey Catal ascending, becoming the American Deathmatch champion, and then sort of the love triangle with the two of them and Cruel, and then eventually it resulted in Brandon Kirk dethroning Casey as American Deathmatch champ. You know, and then they reconcile after that. Just super, super compelling. I loved it so much. And to have the two of them on the show, I knew I had to get them a strong set of opponents. And one of the first couples that jumped into my head was, you know, GPA and Lainey Luck. And the two of them were on a tear at the time as freelance tag team champions. Just, you know, again, what I really like with these two is that you have, I think people like Brandon, but Brandon's, you know, fun to kind of give a hard time and slag on sometimes, and people love Casey. But deep down, they love Brandon too. And I think this is the same dynamic with Lainey and GPA, especially because, you know, even more so than Brandon, I would say, GPA is like a real rascal and just, again, surly guy, likes to troll people on social media. And just everybody loves Lainey Luck. But again, they love GPA too. They just don't want to admit it. And you have these two couples, and you have especially, I know that that Casey Catal and Lainey Luck have wanted to have a match for years. So this one's going to be really good. I have toyed with the idea of whether this is going to be a no DQ match. I will say it's not going to be a death match. It's not going to be the Kirks just smashing glass everywhere. We'll see what happens. It may be a game time decision, but I think either way, this is going to be one that really escalates and a lot of wacky things happen. I think how could it not with those two and those two?
Perfect. That is the card. 10 matches. This is a very WrestleMania-esque card. We're going to be here for like 6 hours.
Well, it's planned to be 3 with a brief intermission. We'll see how that goes. But the ETU show is at 4:00. So it has to be as close to 3 as possible.
So there's a very good,
we'll see what happens.
There's a very good chance the Party Unicorn is going to just be like wrestling into the next show.
That's entirely possible. And, you know, that's hopefully she gets a payday for that.
All right. Before I let you go, I have some quick rapid fire questions. People who are on the fence aren't sure whether this is the show for them. These will help them figure out exactly a little bit more about like your taste, your preferences, and decide whether or not that sounds like somebody that they would trust to book a wrestling show.
Okay.
All right. Rapid fire. cake or pie?
Ooh, cake.
Triple threat or three-way dance?
Three-way dance.
The Blue Album or Pinkerton?
Ooh, this has changed, but I think it's Blue Album.
10 count outside the ring or 20 count?
Oh, 20 count. It should be standard everywhere.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Brett or Sean?
Brett.
Mini golf or laser tag?
Ooh, mini golf.
Steel cage match or false count anywhere?
Steel cage.
Scrabble or Clue?
Scrabble.
Becky, Charlotte, Bailey, or Mercedes?
Mercedes.
That's it.
All right.
You passed my test.
The best pitch I can possibly make, I think, for this show is, apart from everything we've already said, is that there's a lot going on. I personally don't love the fact that we have to run this show against Effie's Big Gay Brunch, because I would love to be at that show.
Yeah, but what do you have against brunch?
I was offered 2 time slots, and the other one was that slot that ETU ended up with, and that is just a little bit too close to WrestleMania. And not only, you know, I am not sure whether I'm going to make it down to the venue that day or the day after. I probably won't be there both, but even if I take myself out of the equation, I am positive that some people on my show are, you know, they either have tickets or are hoping to get some, and I had to do the earlier show. And at the time, brunch's time slot wasn't announced, but I just thought, I know it. It's good. We're going to be up against that. But brunch is sold out. There are no tickets left to brunch. There are, however, opportunities, albeit limited ones, to attend Thrashylvania, and you can do that just with a $25 donation, and $25 gets you a seat. If you want two seats, get 50. If you can't afford 50 for two seats, I don't know, DM me, we'll see what we can work out. But the idea is to raise money for a good charity and to bring people out to have a good time. So there we go.
That's our show. Thank you, Kevin, for joining me. Thank you, listeners, for listening. You can find Kevin on Twitter at Wack Olvaney. That's WackElvaney. You can still get tickets for Thrashylvania. You can watch it, as we said, live on IWTV this Saturday. You can find me on Twitter at Your Echo Heart. And you can find this podcast on Twitter, Instagram, or Patreon at Grit Glitter Pod. If you support us on Patreon, $1 a month gets you a weekly newsletter written by your friends in the Glitterati. $5 a month gets you archived episodes of this podcast from the early seasons, not available anywhere else. Bonus podcasts like our Patreon series that Emily and I do, where we trace the history of women's wrestling in the WWE. And if you support us on Patreon, we take that money, we use it to buy stickers, which I'll be handing out all weekend, and we use it to support independent wrestling, sponsoring shows like From Enjoy Wrestling and Wrestler's Lab and Hood Slam. And if there's any money left over in the coffer, I don't think there is. But if there is, we'll be spending it this weekend buying big foam fingers and waving them in the air at the wrestling shows. That's what wrestling fans do, right? I haven't been to a live show in so long. I'm pretty sure foam fingers never go out of style.